Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 22 of Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 17. Revelation 2:17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And we already looked at the first part of this verse in our last study, and we saw that the one that overcomes is an overcomer in Christ, that Christ is actually the one who has overcome, who is victorious, and it is in him and through him and by his grace that he has saved his people, his elect, and so we are said to overcome through the faith of Christ. And we are given to eat of the hidden manna. And the hidden manna is really a phrase used to identify the Word of God, the hidden truth of the Bible, as Christ is typified by the manna that God provided for the Israelites during their wilderness sojourn. And the hidden manna is the mysteries of the gospel, the parabolic nature of the scriptures. And then it goes on to say, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Now this is rather unusual, and it's language that we really don't come across that often in the Bible, if at all. What does God mean that he will give the individual that overcomes? And we know that that's referring to someone who does become saved, a child of God. He will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, that no one will know, no man knoweth that new name, saving or except he that receiveth it. And this is really unusual. It's curious, and we wonder, well, what is God saying? Well, we approach this like we approach everything else in the Bible carefully, and we look up the words, and then we see if comparing scripture with scripture will help us to understand what God is saying as the Bible defines its own terms. And here we have to look at a white stone. And the first thing for us to look at is the color white. And we find in the scripture that white points to purity and holiness, that which is without sin. And also, it is a color often identified with eternal God himself. For instance, back in Revelation 1, it said in verse 14, "Of the one like unto the Son of Man, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." And we know that's a description of Christ indicating his purity. God sits upon a white throne later on in the book of Revelation because he is the judge of mankind, and he judges in total righteousness. There is no sinfulness in his judgment or in him of any kind. And so we see, well, first of all, there is a white stone, and that may indicate that it's referring to God himself. Now the word stone, well, we know, of course, that a stone or a rock oftentimes in the Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock that the eternal church of God's elect is built upon. For instance, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." There's no question about it that oftentimes in the Bible, a rock or a stone points to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem here is that this is not the typical word for stone or rock. This is a Greek word that's only found three times in the New Testament, and two times are in this verse. A white stone, and in the stone a new name written. And that's two of the three places. The third place, the only other place in the Bible that this word is found, is in Acts chapter 26. And here in Acts 26, the Apostle Paul is recounting some of his history. And he says in verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." And here Paul is remembering when he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee, and he was very angry against this sect known as Christianity, and he hailed men and women, casting them into prison. And he also confesses here that he gave his voice against many of the saints of God in order that they would be put to death. Now, we're interested in this verse because the word voice in Acts 26 verse 10 is a translation of the same Greek word translated twice as stone in our verse in Revelation 2. And we wonder, how can the same Greek word be translated twice as stone and another time as voice? It doesn't seem to make any sense, until we realize that here when he's saying that when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, that he's basically letting us know that he voted against them, as it is with a jury when the jury deliberates and they have someone who's on trial and in the jury room. Well, what do? They have to indicate, do you find this person guilty or innocent? How do you vote? And that's what the Apostle Paul is indicating he did here. He voted against them. That is, he voted that they be put to death. And we know that was his mindset, because he was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and he was very helpful to the people who stoned Stephen by taking care of their coats as they cast stones at him. And so he did give his voice, or I gave my stone against them. Now, what does that mean? Well, when we understand that in times past, they would cast a vote at times through a stone or a pebble. It would indicate which way they were voting for an individual. And that seems to be what's in view here, that where the Apostle Paul cast his vote through a pebble or a stone against the saints of God in order that they be put to death. So it's not as solid as we would like, but we can see how a white stone is pointing to maybe a small stone such as a pebble. And actually, this white stone wood, when we study the verse and we try to take everything into account, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. That the individual that overcomes and the one who is given to eat of the hidden manna, that is someone that God saves, is given also a white stone. And the white stone is a type of Christ himself. We are given the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift on our behalf. We receive the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and in the stone, a new name written. And this helps to verify that we're correct about the first part of the verse and our understanding of it, because in the stone, and we're understanding the stone as pointing to Jesus, in Christ, the child of God, the sinner, the redeemed sinner, has a new name written, because we are adopted into the family of God, and we take to ourselves the name of God, the name of Christ. We are called Christian. And this is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where our new name is found. It says in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 12, him that overcometh, and this is again another verse that speaks of overcoming, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And here we see that's the new name written. It is God's new name. We are Christians. We have the name of God because Jesus Christ is Almighty God, and he has given us his new name, or he's given us the name that accompanies salvation. In the stone, in Christ, each one of us has a new name written. We are privileged and just richly blessed to receive the name of Christ as it comes along with the gift of eternal life, all the rich and abundant blessings that accompany salvation. It also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's turn there quickly, in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, just as in the stone, as the stone points to Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that helps us to see what God is saying. Actually, this is one of those verses where the word stone wasn't all that helpful to see that it pointed to Christ. But as we continue reading the verse and we see how the Lord is speaking of this stone and that the new name is written in that stone, then we realize, oh, this must be another name of the Lord Jesus. He is called here a white stone, and in him, in the stone, a new name is written for all of God's people whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now we have a correct understanding of what the verse is saying. Well, then it goes on to say at the end of verse 17, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. That is, that the person, the man or the woman, that the Lord has saved and has given to eat of the hidden manna, the one who is given a white stone, who is given Christ, and given a new name in Christ, that no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. No man knows this new name, or no man knows really the salvation of God, except we're saving he that receiveth it. Since salvation is of the Spirit and invisible to the natural world, therefore the world does not understand it or has no ability to truly know it. It's a very personal thing between the Lord and the redeemed sinner. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and we'll read in John 14 a couple of verses that will help us to see what God is saying. In John 14, it says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And here the Lord is outlining the fact that the world has no knowledge of the kingdom of heaven that is in the child of God. The world has no understanding of what it is to be a Christian. To them, well, if you say you're a Christian, you're a Christian. To them, everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. And it's just something that you do. You go to church, you follow the teachings of that church, and so on. They have no idea of what it is to be born again. They lack understanding. They are ignorant of God's true salvation program. And so are the people in the churches that likewise are not themselves born again. They don't understand. They just cannot comprehend the work that God has done. This is why true believers, true Christians, those that have been given a white stone, that they've been given Christ, those that do have in that stone or in Christ the new name written, this is why they seem so odd and strange to others in the world, because they don't understand. Why are you reading that Bible all the time? And why do you talk and I don't get what you're saying? Why do you keep talking about spiritual meaning and hidden truth in the Bible? Does the church talk about spiritual meaning all the time and hidden truth? No, they're talking about the plain historical occurrences in the scripture or the grammatical understanding of the Bible. They're on a very natural level, very literal, very plain and direct, things that the natural mind can understand, because they don't know the Spirit of God. They don't have this new name that's in that stone that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not yet been born of the Spirit so that they can come to the Bible with a spiritual understanding. And here God is indicating, no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And yes, we can also see a little bit of a pointer to the idea that no man knows the time, or actually the Bible indicates man knows nothing of the spiritual things of God unless God imparts that understanding to them and reveals himself. And that is concerning salvation. Man knows nothing of God's salvation and being born again unless God has actually made that individual born again. And certainly man knows nothing of the teachings of the Bible, which are spiritual, unless God opens his understanding to them so that he can receive them. Well, let's continue on here in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to go on into verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now, again, we're reading the addresses to the seven churches. The Lord has already addressed three churches. He's sent his message unto the messenger, or the angel of the church at Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and now the fourth church, Thyatira. And Thyatira is a name that we don't know the meaning of. We're not helped in that way as we turn to the Bible, and God sometimes will have a word like Smyrna, which was related to myrrh, and we could know the meaning of a word, but we can't know that, at least at this point. It's unknown concerning Thyatira. We do know that we read of Thyatira in the book of Acts, and a very faithful woman was from there. It says in Acts 16, in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken to Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Well, this lets us know that God had his people in Thyatira, as Lydia was a child of God. And so the Lord is writing unto the messenger of the church in Thyatira, and each of the seven addresses to the seven churches are addressed to the angel or messenger of that church, because that is pointing to God's elect, and then the messenger will give the message of the Lord to that particular church. And again, each one of these churches is representative of all the churches and congregations that will come into existence throughout the church age. It is a figure of the entire corporate body of churches. And so the Lord is writing unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, and it goes on to say, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. And again, we see God referring back to information he's already given us in the book of Revelation. In verse 14 of chapter 1, when the apostle John turned to see who was speaking, he saw one like unto the Son of Man, and it says in that verse, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So again, the Lord is building upon information that he has already shared with us. And if you've been following the study, you remember that when we looked at the fact that the one like unto the Son of Man had his eyes like unto a flame of fire, we saw how this identifies Christ, the Son of Man, as the judge of mankind, the judge of the earth, And his eyes are the eyes of God, and they're all seeing. All things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4. And when God's eyes see mankind, he is able to pierce our minds and into our hearts. And what does he see? Well, he sees sin everywhere he looks. He sees sin flowing forth like a wicked stream out of our hearts and in our minds as we're thinking things contrary to the law of God. We're transgressing oftentimes his word. As God looked upon the world in Noah's day, he saw in the hearts of men only evil continually. And how do you think it is today? The world of Noah's day we would consider to be almost a dream world of peaceful calm and relative morality compared to the wickedness that is in the world of our day. Oh, certainly God sees only evil continually as he looks upon sinners, individuals that have no Savior, and he sees their sins. And that's why his eyes are like unto a flame of fire, because as the Lord is witness to the sins of mankind, it provokes a fire. It provokes his wrath. His wrath is kindled by the sins of all of those created in his image and responsible to obey him and keep his commandments, and yet they do not. Well, we also read of the Lord's feet once again, like fine brass, and chapter 1 let us know as if they burned in a furnace, and that's because the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through the fire himself as he paid for the sins of his people from the foundation of the world. He went through the fiery wrath of God's judgment, and he satisfied the law of God's demands concerning all the sins of all those that he died for. And so now his feet are like fine brass.